Well, one day a priest who was very proud of his sermons was saying goodbye to his people in the vestibule after Mass, and a little boy walked up to him and said, "Father, what are all those names on the wall in the vestibule right behind you?" The priest said, "Well, son, those are the names of all the men and women who died in the service." The little boy said, "Well, was it the 9:30 or the 11? Opportunities like that are ways to grow in humility. And that is the theme of the readings today, humility. Notice that beautiful short reading from Sirach, "My child, in all that you do, do everything with humility, and you'll be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself, and you will find favor with God." Beautiful passage. And in today's gospel, Jesus says, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted." So what is this virtue of humility? It is a beautiful gift. It is a virtue by which we realize what is truth, that God is God and we are His creation, that God is the giver of all good gifts. Humility is not saying, "I am no good." Humility is not self-loathing. Someone once said, a beautiful definition, humility is not thinking less about ourselves, it's about thinking about ourselves less. What a beautiful definition that is. Humility is not thinking less about ourselves, it's about thinking about ourselves less. Thinking about God more, thinking about others more, and how we can serve God and serve others more. Humility is truth. Humility is realizing that God is our creator, and we are really nothing, and yet God has elevated us to become His children, His sons and daughters. The word humility comes from the same root of the word humus. Humus is that deep, rich soil. Humus is the earth. It's the ground. It's the soil. And so they say humility is the soil in which all the other virtues grow. If you want to grow in faith, hope, and charity and other virtues, make sure we first have the soil of humility in which to grow those virtues. Again, humility is true. Think about our Blessed Mother. In the Magnificat, she praised God and gave all the glory to God, even though she realized God had given her many graces and many gifts and many blessings. She said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has looked upon the lowliness of His servant, and from this day all generations will call me blessed." Our Lady knew that all generations would call her blessed, yet she didn't take that glory to herself. She gave the glory back to God and said, "Holy is His name." And that's what a humble person acknowledges. They acknowledge that they've been blessed with gifts and blessings from God, but they don't attribute those to themselves. They give the glory back to God. When we look in Scripture, we see different passages where Jesus says things like, that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And if you look at two examples from Scripture, you see how pride is the downfall of certain individuals. Think of Lucifer himself. Lucifer was a magnificent angel of light, and yet he was unwilling to serve. And because of his pride, he said, "I will not serve." And of course, he was thrown out from the heavens. So that was the root of Lucifer's sin, that was pride. Think of Adam. Adam did not want to remain a human. He said he wanted to become like God. He wanted the knowledge of good and evil. And so in his pride, Adam sinned. And because of that, we inherited original sin. And all of us are born into this world with original sin. So notice that the opposite of humility is pride, which is a sin. The antidote, the medicine for pride, is humility. When we think of humility, we of course think of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." And He told His disciples to imitate His humility. When we think of the Incarnation, we see that was an incredible act of humility. God is humble. God is so humble that he became a little baby in the womb of our Blessed Mother. The Incarnation is an amazing act of humility, that God became a little tiny embryo in the womb of Our Lady, that the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Then we think of how Jesus was born. He could have been born in a castle or a palace. He chose not to be. He chose to be born in a stable, in a cave, in Bethlehem. And then when he was born, he was placed in a manger, a feed box where the animals would eat out of. And this, again, shows the humility of God in becoming a baby and born in such poverty and hardship, surrounded by animals. And then when Jesus died on the cross, portrayed in this beautiful crucifix, we see a great act of humility that the Son of God died on the cross for each one of us. And yet, even at the Last Supper, Jesus says, I have not come to be served, I've come to serve. And what did he do? He washed the feet of his disciples. What a beautiful act of humility that here he is, the Son of God, knelt down and washed the feet of these fishermen, these apostles, these disciples. The Lord's whole life was an act of humility. Then, at the Last Supper, he also said, he took bread and wine and said, this is my body, this is the cup of my blood. And then he became present under the appearances of bread and wine. The Eucharist is even a greater act of humility than the Incarnation. In the Incarnation, God became a baby. He became one of us. In the Holy Eucharist, he becomes our food. He becomes the food for our souls to nourish us with his body and blood. Imagine that great act of humility when the priest holds up the host and says, this is my body, holds up the chalice, this is the cup of my blood. It becomes Jesus. And when you look at the host, you see it's in the shape of a zero, because that's how humble God is, that he becomes present under the appearances of bread and wine. And we get to receive him in Holy Communion. So yes, the Incarnation is an incredible act of humility, but I would say that the Holy Eucharist is even a greater act of humility when God becomes our food in Holy Communion. And lastly, what can we do to grow in the virtue of humility? Well, of course, try to become more like Jesus. Try to imitate Jesus. What would Jesus do? What would he say? What would he think? The more we become like Jesus, the more humble we will be in how we deal with others. Think of our Blessed Mother and how she was a great woman of humility. Humble people serve others, just like Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Humble people will serve others. A humble person will say that they're sorry. Think of how many marriages could be saved if husbands or wives just said, I'm sorry. If they gave up their pride and they said that they were sorry. Saying sorry is a great act of humility. It can save so many families and marriages. A humble person goes to confession on a regular basis. A humble person realizes that they need God's help, that they are sinners, and they confess their sins humbly in confession. Confession is not easy, to humble ourselves, to confess our sins, but it's an act of humility that makes up for the sin of pride which underlies all sin. So we should go to confession often, at least 4 times a year, summer, winter, spring, and fall, but perhaps once a month or even more often if needed. And then we should always, of course, show great reverence to the Eucharist. The humble person, I believe, has great reverence and respect for Jesus and the Most Blessed Sacrament, and shows great reverence towards our Lord and God truly present in the Most Blessed Sacrament. And I also believe that a humble person will be obedient to the teachings of Christ and the Church. A humble person acknowledges that Jesus Christ is God and he founded his Church, and that when a person obeys and accepts the teachings of Jesus Christ and the church, that is an act of submission, an act of humility to the truths of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and who established his church to continue to teach us the truth. So these are ways in which we can grow in this beautiful virtue of humility, which is the soil in which all other virtues grow.